is a clap. He's the best. We honor you, Lord. We're here because of you. We just want to thank you and bless you. We celebrate you. We welcome you. You're the best. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We'll give someone a high five before you sit down. That'd be great. Wow, what a great crowd. How awesome. Such a great crowd. I'm so thrilled that you came. And I want to thank Pastor Wes and Janet and all the team that worked so hard to make a seminar like this possible. I really do appreciate that. And I have my beautiful wife with me here. Friend of 53 years, we're married this year. 53 years. And I have my daughter-in-law, Kate, who pastors Ascend Global Church. And she's with us too, enjoying the time here, Mr. Kate. And you want to get to know her, she's a fireball in the Holy Ghost. And we just love the relationship with Wes and Janet and the time here. It's always a lot of fun and a lot of laughs. And then also God does stuff. And it's great that we can just work together to do something that'll help the church and help the people of God. And I really appreciate they've just made these opportunities. It puts the pressure on me to just get focused and do things. And I was thinking, six seminars? Oh, my goodness me. It's, I don't know how I managed it. And as I was sitting down, the Lord gave me ideas for about another four. How about that? Five. I'm thinking, no, no. Just got to, oh, whoa. Pinning down the dates. What a great idea. Where's this like that? Here, give me the dates. Give me the dates. I've actually tentatively put in a couple for next year without having a clue what I do. Sometimes you just say, well, do something, and then God gives you ideas. So you'll enjoy it. You'll really like them. That's if they want me to come back. You know, I always work on every time could be the last time, so just make the most of it. But it's great. So last night we just shared about the theme is developing or building a strong spirit. And we saw how John the Baptist grew and became strong in spirit. So you're not born strong in spirit. Some people are actually born wounded in their spirit, but we can become strong. It says of Jesus in Luke 2 that Jesus grew and became strong in spirit. So it's interesting that the two prominent people through the Gospels that had such influence became strong in spirit. And so then we looked at the whole area of why we need to be strong in spirit and the results of being strong in spirit. And one of the key ones, of course, is it gives ability to rebound in the face of setbacks and difficulties and opposition and spiritual warfare. Whatever knocks you down, you've got an ability to get up. There's a resilience and bounce back built into you because your spirit is strong. Yeah. And then we saw various other aspects of how your spirit affects your body, affects your soul and every part of you, and how building a strong spirit increases the dimensions of God around our life. And since it's a process of growing, you often don't notice it's happening, but if you'll just give yourself to the training, then you'll grow strong in spirit. Amen? Okay, so we want to, there are lots of things we could share around this area, but I've tried to take just some of them and put them together in some things that will have a practical outworking for you. In other words, you can't just easily do it and know what to do, that's not going to really help you. So we wanted to focus today on things you can do. And I could just give you a list of them, and I may end up just doing a list if I run out of time. But I want to focus on, in the first two or three sessions, on some things that are very powerful for building your spirit. Very powerful, very simple, yet very powerful. And if I show you the how of doing it, then you can work on developing your own personal life with God and building in that area. I found one of the biggest difficulties in ministry was people told me I ought to do stuff, but never told you how. And I kind of like, if I can't know how, then I can't even begin to start. And I've watched people come in and out of meetings, and they get very excited about the message, but then, well, what must I do? Because if I can't turn it into, these are things I could now put into practice in my life, then you can't actually really gain much traction. You're inspired, then a week later, you have nothing's changed. So it's only in the doing of certain things that we start to move and shift. Okay, so having said all that, we're going to go into one of the most powerful ways of building a strong spirit is through praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. One of the great gifts, you know, when Jesus commissioned the church, he told them, he said in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power from on high and become witnesses to me. So the baptism in the Spirit or the immersion is an immersion into the realm of the Spirit so that we can have power to be effective in making things happen. And it's interesting that the first evidence that they got baptized in the Spirit was an overflow of a language they never learned. So I want to share with you some aspects, the benefits and blessings of praying in tongues. In the second session, we're going to get you to do some exercise to explore what it feels like to stretch yourself a little bit out in that area. Okay, here we go. So let me just give you now the benefits or the blessings that come from building strong praying in tongues. Number one, tongues activates your spirit. Tongues activates your spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in a tongue or pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. How about that? Your spirit is praying. My understanding is unfruitful. So notice then, praying in tongues, it is flowing from your spirit. So your spirit, remember we said your spirit had senses, your spirit also has a voice. So your spirit can express. And the prayer language, speaking in tongues, it's your spirit that's praying. It's not coming from your understanding. Your understanding is unfruitful. In other words, there's like a gap there where nothing's happening, and you've got to do something about that, which we'll talk about in another session. So tongues is a distinct language. It's a gifted language. You have to learn it. And so when you, notice this, when you pray with understanding, your voice expresses the thoughts of your mind. Okay? So if I say, well, I want to pray, Father, I come to you, I honor you and thank you. Now, I'm giving voice to the thoughts of my mind. See? So when you're praying in tongues, you're giving voice to the thoughts of your spirit, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So praying in praying with understanding, you're giving voice to the thoughts of your mind. You're bringing thoughts into physical reality. And when you're praying in the tongues, you're giving voice to the thoughts of your spirit or the inspired utterance of your spirit. So when you're praying in tongues, your understanding is unfruitful. Or to put it another way, scientists have measured the activity of the brain when people are praying in tongues. They put measuring electrodes to measure activities in the center of the brain associated with speaking and found no activity when the person's speaking in tongues, indicating that the source of the language is not coming from the brain, it's coming from elsewhere. The source is actually from the person's spirit. So it's a language that rises up. So you've got to remember, when you're praying in tongues, you're not just babbling nonsense. You are giving voice to thoughts of the spirit in a clear, distinct language, which is understood in the realm of the spirit. Demons hate it, absolutely hate it. So the language is originating from your spirit, not from your understanding, meaning then that as you pray, you can pray from your mind, you can pray from your spirit, you can pray both ways. And of course, it's useful to do that, to pray with understanding and to pray with tongues as well. So in effective prayer, we need to engage both, as we'll see as we go on. So tongues activate your spirit. So the moment you pray in tongues, you are now giving your spirit a bit of a workout. How about that? So you can understand then, if you're going to pray in tongues, then it's going to do something in your spirit, especially if you put yourself into the praying. And I remember I was in a meeting in Taiwan, and they asked me to teach people how to operate in the gifts of the spirit. There were about 2,000 people there. And so anyway, I was into about 10 minutes into the first message, and the Lord told me, oh, most of them aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost, so you're well ahead of yourself on this. You need to stop now and restart again and teach them how to get filled with the Holy Ghost. So I put out, hey, listen, how many not filled with the Holy Ghost? Now out of the 2,000, there would have been about 1,200, I suppose. And I stopped and I did about a 10-minute how to get filled with the Holy Spirit, how to receive the gift of tongues, how to get activated in that way. We led them all through the prayer, and since it's so many and it's so jammed, I couldn't get them up the front. I said, just those around you, lay hands and pray. And everyone got filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Now, here's the bit. This is the bit I want to get you to. I said, why don't we just all pray in tongues loud? And so we got everyone really praying. So we got 2,000 people all praying in tongues. And suddenly, demons came out everywhere. It's just like it turned into a deliverance meeting. So that fine teaching I had for that session was out the window. We now had something completely different happening. There's just demons screaming. People are falling on the ground. There's stuff going on all over the place. And the thing is that the language of the Spirit does many things. And one of the things is it actually outrages, it just gets demons really enraged. They really hate that language. So I like to pray more. So secondly, tongues opens a flow of communication with the Holy Spirit. Tongues opens a direct flow or line of communication with the Holy Spirit because you are praying in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. So now you have now started to activate a flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. So praying in tongues opens a direct flow of communication with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So you know they're filled with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is giving them language. Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, is imparting language directly into their spirit. Their spirit is now expressing the language, and it caused a release of tremendous joy. And of course, it was so strong and so loud, everyone came around to see what's going on. So the Holy Spirit imparts the language into you as you pray, and you are now expressing it. So without even realizing it, you are starting to yield to and flow with the Holy Spirit. And that same flow that you've got praying in tongues is the same flow through which you receive revelation, words of knowledge, words of prophecy. It's exactly the same flow from within. The Holy Spirit with your spirit causing a flow as you yield to it. And so when you're praying in tongues, you are now partnering with the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is with your spirit, expressing the life of God through you. This is really going to have a powerful effect on you. But if you don't understand and believe what the purpose of the gift is, you will neglect it. So if we don't understand why we're given something, then we tend to neglect it or misuse it. And we don't want to do that. Okay, then. So it opens a direct flow of communication with the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's the third thing that the gift of tongues does. When you pray in tongues, praying in tongues energizes your spirit. It literally energizes and imparts life into your spirit. In Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you. Works in you. That word work is energeo, meaning to energize or put out power. How about that? So words carry with it power. So Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So the spoken word, it's got a dimension of spirit about it that actually can alter things. We don't realize it. All that you see that was created through the word of God being spoken. So we don't recognize frequently the power of speaking out words. Words can impart life. Words can impart death. So when you start to pray strongly and forcefully with the Holy Ghost, now words of life are flowing through you, and it's possible for your whole spirit to become energized. And when you learn to pray strongly in tongues, you can find after a while, your spirit can arise very quickly. So I've learned that when I started praying in tongues, I was sort of mumbling away a bit, and didn't understand about the development of a strong prayer language. And then I found that as I began to pray strongly in prayers, and I'm going to get you to do this a little later, I could literally feel my inner man starting to rise and expand and fill with life. And, oh, that's a good feeling. I like that I'm starting to arise on the inside. And then I learned that many people, they've never learned to stand up and build a, develop a strong spirit. Their spirit is kind of quite dormant within them, and they're living mostly out of their emotions and their feelings and their thoughts, and they're very little expression. And so when you get people praying, they'll and it's like it's failing to do what it's intended to do. The praying in tongues is meant to energize and impart life into your spirit, supernatural life that builds and strengthens your spirit. But we need to be intentional in doing that, intentional in our praying in such a way that our spirit man becomes expanded and extended. See? So when you pray strongly in the spirit, I'm not saying loudly, strongly, meaning you arise and your voice is coming forth. When you do that, then there's energy and life imparted. And not only is your spirit energized, your body gets energized too. So when you start to pray strongly in tongues, and you move your body, and your body cooperates with the process, you bring your body into line with what you're doing, now your body gets alive. Suddenly you get wide awake. It's just extraordinary. You come wide awake. You can be as sleepy as can be, in a couple of minutes praying in tongues, oh, full of life. And the ability to step up inside. And not only that, your mind clears. And so ideas start to come. That's why the moment we get into worship, I've always got something to write on, because immediately I feel the flow of the Spirit. I feel the flow of ideas as well. Now, maybe you haven't experienced that, but you can experience, and that's what you desire to experience. So then you're starting to connect with God and hear His voice and connect with the flow of the Spirit. Yeah, okay. Well, this is it, you know. It's not just mumbling away. There's something there, you know. He is able to, in Ephesians 3:20, to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power, that's the Holy Ghost, that energizes us. How about that? The Holy Ghost energizes us, see? So tongues energizes your spirit man. It also energizes your body. Start to come alive inside. Whereas if your spirit is damaged and broken, your soul's damaged, and there's no flow, then usually you're not very strong. But you can become very strong in spirit because you're praying in tongues. So tongues is the fourth benefit of tongues. Tongues empowers you in praise and worship. It empowers you to be able to engage with God, to build an atmosphere of gratitude and praise, and then to engage intimately with Him. Very powerful for this. Very powerful tool. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 through to 17. What is the conclusion then? I'll pray with the Spirit and pray with understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit, I'll sing with understanding. In other words, not either or, we do both. Praying with understanding can direct where your prayer is going, and then you pray in the Spirit to flow and complete that. And then it says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place, the unformed, say amen at your giving of thanks? You don't understand what you say. I want you to pick up here that praying in tongues, you are blessing God or speaking well of God and giving thanks to God. You give thanks well. So notice then that one of the functions of you praying in tongues is to express gratitude and to speak words of honor of God. So even though you may not understand what you are saying, by faith we know, because the Word of God says clearly that praying in tongues, I am giving God a thank offering, I'm giving God honor, I am blessing Him, I'm magnifying Him. My praying in tongues is directed primarily to Him. He that prays in an unknown tongue prays to God. So you're not praying to demons or anything else. You are praying to God, and your language is blessing Him and honoring Him and giving thanks. And so the Bible says we come into His presence by giving thanks. So praising the Lord with tongues starts to make way possible to access the presence of God, become aware of His presence. God is always here. He's always dwelling in us, but we're not always aware of it and conscious of it. So we pray in the spirit. How about that? So praying in tongues gives you instant access to the spirit dimension. Immediately, you're in the spirit. You just got to make sure the rest of you goes there too. Doesn't go wandering around all over the place, which is the problem that most people have, which we'll address later, is when they're praying in tongues, because their understanding is unfruitful, their mind wanders everywhere and they don't really engage. So I'll show you what to do about that in another session. And it's important that you actually harness your thought life and the direction of your mind and heart as you pray in tongues if you want to be very effective in this area. Quite important, you don't just let your mind wander off. Now, of course, one aspect of praying in tongues is you can pray in the spirit, while you're driving down the road. So, you know, you can actually be praying in the spirit while you're doing other things, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But when you're going to engage God, you really want to harness your thoughts to be directed to Him. It's like trying to talk to someone and you're looking on your phone all the time. You know, it's just not happening. So here's a fifth area of praying in tongues. There's a whole number of blessings of them. How many have I got here? I've just done 10. That'll be enough. So how about we give this one here? Look at this. Tongues builds, edifies your spirit. Now, how about that? We asked before, how are we going to build a strong spirit, man? Well, God's given you a gift to strengthen yourself. You've just got to use it. 1 Corinthians 14:4, whoever speaks in a tongue edifies or builds himself. Whoever prophesies builds the church. That word edify is the word in Greek oikodomio, meaning to build up a house, to construct or strengthen a building. You are the building. Praying in tongues will strengthen you. It strengthens your spirit. And it helps your spirit arise. So instead of living out of the flesh, you're living out of the spirit. That's why you pray. So as you're praying in tongues, your spirit becomes strengthened and your spirit capacity starts to enlarge. So I can feel, as I start to pray in the spirit, I can feel my spirit enlarging on the inside, filling all the atmosphere around me. So your spirit becomes enlarged, or your capacity, one way it gets enlarged is through the praying in tongues. And another reason that you get edified is if you pray in tongues quite a lot and pray intentionally in tongues, you will find areas in your life that are out of order will start to surface and you become aware of them and you can then do the repair work needed. You become conscious of where repairs are needed. Repairs and maintenance issues. And here it is, Jude 1:20. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See? Build yourself up. So it's all very well to have ministry come and build you up, but you need to also build up your own self. There it is, build upon. And the context for Jude is about contending for the power of God, contending for a dynamic faith life, okay? Contending for the faith once delivered to the church. And towards the end of it, he says, now, but you, beloved, you're not like them. He said, build up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you determine how much you build you. So it can be a slacker and not build you and come in every week, weak, needing. We're not supposed to, I understand that we have issues that we face and church is a place to welcome people who are broken, but if you've been around and been a believer for a while, you should be coming strong in spirit. Really, it shouldn't take 10 songs to get you on going. That's pathetic. It tells me you're living in the flesh. You want to be ready immediately. It's the moment that Jumanji sound goes to be drawn into another realm. I love it. I love coming. It's the only place ever come. And boom, 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 boom. I'm waiting for the rhinos to appear. but it's you come ready in your spirit to engage God. And so when they start, then we're straight in and fully on board. And because we're ready to engage God, we're living that way. Rather than no prayer life, and you're living a life where there's very little impact of the Spirit on your life and relationships. It's not meant to be that way. We're meant to be carriers of the Spirit, and so build yourself up. So, you know, this is the thing, people come up. It's like people coming up and saying, Pastor, I want muscles. Would you pray for me for muscles? I say, no, just go roll in the gym and do a workout. And every day go there and you'll be right. It's like there's some things can't be given in a prayer line. There's some things you have to actually give yourself to doing in order to have a life that's better than the one you've got. The reason people want to get fit is they want to be healthier and better in their life. And you want to pray in tongues so you're more spiritually vibrant, alive, and expressive of joy in the life of the Holy Ghost. There we go. There's another thing. Tongues alters the spiritual atmosphere around you. It alters your spiritual atmosphere. Now, atmosphere is an interesting thing. Let me just give you a few. Here it says in Acts 10:46, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Make God great. How about that? Make God great again. How that'll offend some people for sure. But when we thank God, we are magnifying Him, making Him greater, because it's the focus of our heart and our thoughts. If you focus on everything wrong, then God won't be great. He'll be very marginal. And a lot of people have got a marginal God. He's a kind of add-on. We turn up Sunday and then, but the rest of the week, there's not much engagement. And so when we pray in the Spirit and we give Him our love and our heart and our attention, He becomes magnified and the atmosphere shifts. So the atmosphere can shift around you completely. Now, you may not feel it. Sometimes you do. Like, I've been in some places and I tried to pray in tongues, and man, it's like you're just about dying. You can hardly get the words out. It's because there's a warfare. There's something spiritual, invisible, pushing against you, making your words seem to bounce back and being very hard to get out. But when you press on and determined you'll honor God, then suddenly it can just shift and you feel a flow like that. Sometimes it'll be 2 or 3 minutes, sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes. But for me, really, really longer than that now, I can usually into the Spirit just like that. Before I got the end of my drive, I'm conscious of the presence of God because of practice. Practicing makes this easy. When you don't practice, it's like going to do a marathon. Very hard, very tiring, and you ache, and you swear you'll never do it again. But, you know, you've got to actually build a little every day. But when you do, then you alter the atmosphere around your life. The atmosphere, God is dwelling you. God is filling your life because of your prayer life. And so now you're carrying an atmosphere that's different. And it just affects things. I remember I've got a prayer walk I do every day, and I go down this prayer walk, and I'm just praying in the Spirit. And I get to do it early in the morning, so people don't look at me weirdly. And just pray in the Spirit. Anyway, this girl coming towards us, she's Christian. That day she was in our church. She's quite sensitive in the Spirit. And she's walking towards me. I looked, and I thought, oh, that's so-and-so. And I just carried on praying. Next minute, ba-doom-pa! And she just fell over. I didn't touch her. I'm just praying. I'm in the Spirit. But I didn't realize, because I wasn't feeling a lot, there's an atmosphere built around. And when she walked into the atmosphere, she was slain in the Spirit and fell over on the ground. And I thought, well, look at that. Just look at that. I like that. I'd like to do a lot more of that. But it was just God showing me, you have got an atmosphere around your life that people walking into it feel something. They don't even know what they feel. But it's a spiritual atmosphere. An atmosphere consists of something. So we have an atmosphere. An atmosphere can be polluted because it's got particles you can't see and they make your life unhealthy. You can have a spiritual atmosphere. You can't see it, but if there's demonic spirits active around it, then there's a heaviness and a negativity in it. And people coming around, you know, I can actually feel some of those atmospheres. I've had some people walk in. I've had to discipline myself because I feel they've got this deep, deep root of rejection over their life or self-pity. And you can almost feel like they're sucking you into their world of self-pity. And I feel the manipulation and I hate it. But I've learned you can carry an atmosphere around your life. And then that atmosphere fills your house. It becomes the atmosphere of your house. And I don't want to have a negative atmosphere, an unclean atmosphere, or self-pity atmosphere, or anxiety atmosphere. I remember one guy, he would walk into a room and suddenly you could feel tense. And you start to feel on edge. And you think, what the heck just happened? I was doing fine. He walked in the room and suddenly something changed. Then I realized he's carrying a strong spirit of fear and anxiety and control, and it was shaping the whole atmosphere, and people get uptight the moment he walked in the room. I think, well, I don't want that. I want to carry something stronger that overcomes it, and usually the way you got to then speak, you got to engage it, not run from it. Yeah. Engage it, not run from it. We'll get on to perhaps discerning a little bit later. So there it is. So an atmosphere. It says in Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies to silence the enemy and avenger. Psalm 8, verse 2. And Jesus quoted it, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have ordained praise. So in the Old Testament, ordained strength because when they praise, and out of the New Testament says ordained praise, that you may silence the enemy and avenger. So in other words, he's saying God has ordained or established as a way of changing the spiritual atmosphere that you become a person who's full of praise and gratitude and thanksgiving. And it silences demon spirits. So sometimes to get the demons to silence that trouble you, you just pray louder in tongues till you can't hear them anymore. And after you've done it a while, the atmosphere changes anyway and they're no longer there. So praying in tongues strongly can alter the atmosphere because God makes us present. Okay, here's number seven. Number seven, tongues, when you pray strongly in tongues and develop a strong life in tongues, it releases a flow of revelation to you. Releases revelation. 1 Corinthians 2:11, what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man in him? No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit from God, that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So I noticed that Paul said, I pray in tongues more than any of you, and Paul got more revelation than anyone. So there's a connection between a flow of revelation and activating a strong life of praying in the Spirit. And so praying in the Spirit, it energizes your spirit man, it moves the spiritual atmosphere, and it clears your thinking, clears your head. And your mind then becomes more receptive to revelatory thoughts from God. It's like they begin to flow like a river into your mind. So while your mouth is speaking and praising and words are coming out, at the same time, the Holy Spirit can then flood your mind with ideas and thoughts. So I expect when I pray in tongues, I will get ideas, I will get thoughts that just drop into my mind. I will sometimes get clear revelation from God, things I hadn't seen or hadn't connected together. So as I'm praying now, I always have something to write down because I never know when revelation is going to suddenly come. So just sitting there, I didn't expect it, but suddenly ideas come. I thought, I need to write that one down. And the moment I wrote one down, another four came straight away. And I thought, see, when you respond, more comes. So if you just think, oh, it's just me, or I'll do that later, it's gone. Yeah. It's gone. You rack your brains, and then you realize what Jesus said. You know, he said in the parable of the sower that the devil comes, the birds of the air come, and they take the seed away that was sown. And that's what happens. You just got to actually respond immediately. So it's interesting. So tongues releases a flow of revelation. And it sensitizes you to the Holy Spirit. So you become conscious of His presence and conscious of what He's doing and conscious of His voice. How about that? So like for an example, we may even do this later in the next session. When you speak in tongues strongly, so you just pray strongly and kind of, and you're just in a flow of strong praying in tongues, then you suddenly stop, you will actually hear in your mind the flow. It's like you keep praying. Your spirit is still going, but you just stop talking. You can literally hear the overflow. So when we pray in the Spirit, there is a flow is taking place within us. You just got to learn to tune into the spontaneous thoughts and impressions, write them down. So language or thoughts flow into your mind. How about that? So it means you get ideas. Suddenly you get an idea. I've had solutions to problems just drop in while I was just praying. maybe there's insights in the Word of God. So sometimes I'll have done a what I've learned to do now, do my study, then walk away and go pray in the Spirit and do a walk. And while I'm walking, suddenly, I've got the message, just came like that. Three or four points, just like that. So I write it down immediately, and then I just do the work of filling it in. And there's a flow of revelation from the Holy Spirit. That's why usually when I teach, it seems so clear and simple that people often think, well, I already knew that. But it's great to hear it that clear. You know, it's just like there's a clarity comes. And that's just the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it comes a lot out of listening to Him. So I've learned whenever I do messages to always do the study and the hard work, but then listen to the flow of the Spirit. Feel the ideas. I don't know how to start that. Where would we start? What are the key things? What's important to you? What do they need to know? And just let the Spirit of God just then write it down. And it sometimes it's even simpler things. It's been things around home, things I've had difficulties with, things I didn't know what to do, and the Lord just drop an idea in. I remember I had a situation that was very, very difficult. We've got a situation. We had a terrible storm last year. It'd been raining in the Hawke's Bay for more months than I've ever known in my life. And we got about 2 years rain in a year. And our pool just, we emptied it to paint it, and then it exploded and it just broke down. So we ended. So we dug a hole and thought it'd be easy to put up a pool. Nah, we were just delayed. It's still not done. That was over a year ago. So we've just got this huge, huge hole. And then, of course, we're trying to get trucks in to do things, and the neighbor's a bit upset by the trucks coming down the drive and all this kind of that. So he got to the stage he's had enough. And I just praying and I'm praying, and the Lord just dropped an idea into my mind. Now He's keen for it to happen. It just turned like that, just wisdom. The Lord just showed me, He gave me a word of wisdom, what to say and what to do that would turn a situation around that if we couldn't use the drive would be very difficult for us. So it's not just spiritual stuff. It's actually quite practical things. It can be to do with family. It can be to do with relationships. It can be to do with finances. The Holy Spirit wants to bring an overflow. Praying in tongues is a great way to energize your spirit, position yourself for that overflow. Oh, we're getting quiet now. Yeah. Okay, here's a couple more, then we'll just finish the three more. So tongues, here's another thing about tongues. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, whoever speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men, speaks to God. No one understands him, but in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, I looked at that for a long time and thought, that's weird. Why would you speak mysteries? You know, why don't you speak so we all know what you're talking about? Mysteries, you know, until you actually say, well, when the Bible is talking about a mystery, what is a mystery in the Bible? So the mystery is something that's secret. You don't know. It's a mystery. Don't know. But when the Bible's talking about mystery, it refers specifically to some things. It refers specifically to things about the kingdom of God and the will of God for your life. Like, for example, Mark 4:11, to you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. So in other words, the kingdom of God is something not easily understood by people without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why I could talk on it, but it doesn't affect people. But when I heard a message on the kingdom of God, my life radically changed because revelation. It was no longer a mystery. It became an exciting future reality. Make sense? And so in Proverbs 25:2, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. How about that? So there are some things God has for you that are a mystery in that you don't know them yet. But if you want to know the things God has, you have to seek them and search him. And so when we pray in tongues, the Spirit of God is bypassing our mind and praying forth the will and the plans of God for our life. So you can choose to begin to pray over your life, begin to pray over your family, and begin to pray forth the will of God over it. And while you may not know what it is right now, you can still be praying it forth. Most people wait till they see it before they do anything. But by faith, I can pray forth what God wants until I see it. So in other words, my seeing it will follow the praying it forth. So pray, so you can pray. Father, I just come before you. I just thank you, Lord, for the plans you have for my life. I pray and call forth those plans. And begin to pray over your own life, over your family, over things. The mysteries of God. You're praying them out. You're praying them forth. You're calling them forth, even though they haven't yet got clarity what they all are. Because a lot of the things God has for us, if he told you, you wouldn't believe him anyway. So you wouldn't pray. Well, it's true. If God told you the things, everything about what he sees in you and about the great plans he has for you, you go, oh, nah. You know, really, just rubbish. You know, where did that come from? You know, like when I was a young believer and I'm just starting out on my work, if God had said, now let me just outline for you the plan. Now, I'm going to have you on a global stage speaking to 500,000 people, and you're going to see the power of God come and people deliver it and people this and that. And I'd have gone, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, I'm dreaming. Not going to happen. You know, he said, I'm going to take you to this place and that place and whatever and cause you to have influence over the world. I wouldn't have believed it. You understand, it was beyond where I was in my faith to be able to see the things. So God just got me praying in the Spirit. And eventually, it unravels and unfolds. And of course, with God, he doesn't want to tell you everything straight away. And that would take away the life of faith. So what the two things he doesn't tell you, he doesn't tell you how great all the things are he's planned for you. And the second thing he doesn't tell you is the suffering that'll take place on the way to get there. You know, God loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. You're going to be fine. Yes. I found it wasn't just a straight path. It was a very difficult path. Anyway, there it is. So here's the other last couple of things. Tongues, praying in tongues triggers a deeper intercessory prayer. Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. We don't want to pray as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession with us with groanings that can't be uttered. So intercession is the role of a priest, and we're all called to be priests of God. Intercession means it's the work of a priest. You come before God on behalf of others, and then you speak to people on behalf of God. That's what it involves. So you come into the presence of God to pray for others, and you come out of the presence of God with wisdom or encouragement or what for others. So when we're praying, we don't really know what the needs of people are. So the Holy Spirit helps us, and as we give ourselves to prayer, it can become very deep and quite a different form. So he helps us. Helps us means, it doesn't mean he does it all. That word means to take hold together with you. So you've got to give yourself to prayer, and as you do it, he will help you in praying for the things that you need to pray for. Lord, I don't know what to pray for. I just bring them before you now, and I begin to pray in the Spirit. And sometimes as you do that, you become aware of the issues and needs. How about that? And then the last thing is, I reckon that praying in tongues fills you with the Holy Ghost. You get filled up with the Holy Ghost, you know. You praying in tongues is, in the Bible, connected with being filled with the Spirit. They filled with the Spirit, they prayed in tongues. I reckon praying in tongues gets you filled as well. And we constantly need to be filled with the presence of God and aware of the presence of God. And praying in the Spirit is a powerful way of doing that. Oh, just shuck up, up, up. And you get to pray in the Spirit, then you get lost with God. It's quite wonderful, really. And then, you know, I get a fright when I'm doing my prayer walk because someone will just come up on me. And I'm so lost in God. Suddenly someone's near to me. Oh, what was that? But you actually learn how to focus your attention and engage. So you're completely engaged with God. And I'll show you how to do that. I'll show you through another couple of sessions what you do that helps you get into that engagement with God process. It's never complicated. It's just if you don't know what to do, then you don't know what to do. And then you think, I'm the only one who doesn't know what to do. So we've got to learn just simple things. So the first thing we then realize, praying in tongues is one of the most powerful ways of building your spirit. Begin to practice it and build your prayer life every day. Amen? In the second session, we're going to give you some exercises on praying in tongues just to get you to stir up that area and start to push. So you just feel maybe a little uncomfortable. You've got to stretch out of your comfort zone. Then hopefully by the time we get to tonight, we'll get you to the point where actually you then beginning to minister the power of God and see God touch people. But you see, you've got to build your spirit, man. Otherwise, you've got nothing to give. You become the poor man, needs, oh, pray for me. Give me a word. Now listen, you're all meant to hear from God and bring words for other people who really need them. So why don't we just begin to start to build our personal life? Amen? Okay, let's take a break then. God bless.